Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
What you're about to hear was put together by our good friend and brother, Ryan Hitchcock. This presentation is on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation CD, but I thought that a particular individual CD of this might be helpful to you to just burn copies of this. It's an excellent presentation. I think anyone would be challenged to find fault with the conclusions that Brother Ryan has in this presentation. It's an excellent presentation, something that I hope that you will find people that you can give this to that perhaps would cause them to be motivated to turn to the Lord and repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. This is Brother Ryan Hitchcock's presentation of America is Babylon.
America is Babylon. Her spirit is of Egypt, and her leaders are like unto Pharaoh. In one day, she will burn.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this urgent message. One thing we have an overabundance of in this nation is confusion. We have doctrines and deities, mythologies and philosophies, and a melting pot of genealogies. Amidst this great mixture of people gathered from all the nations is a common catastrophe looming over the horizon. Judgment. The judgment of Babylon. Let's begin clearing up the confusion with a quick definition of the title Babylon. It simply means confusion. In this one-hour presentation, I will provide the information and references for the listener to undertake their own investigation. It is irrelevant who the messenger is because you will be given the tools to hammer at the message. The message is not a pleasant one, but the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom this message was sent, is merciful and gracious in warning his people. You will find during this coming peril that this warning will come in very handy. Let's start out by defining the ultimate tool for the job. The King James Holy Bible, the inerrant, inspired, and perfectly preserved Word of the Living God, translated by the Holy Ghost from the Antiochian manuscripts, from Codex to Papyri, to Moses on Mount Sinai, watching the Lord right on the mountain with his own finger, the Ten Commandments. This is the only English book on earth which is 100% truth and was written outside of linear time. If anyone stopped listening to the vain babblings of devils and men and read this book for themselves, they would know it to be true. I have challenged this book on several occasions, and it's beat me every time. I got a little tired of the humiliation, and I pretty much just quit trying. Now then, grab yourself a King James Bible and test what I'm about to tell you. See for yourself if these things be true. You don't need any man to do your thinking for you. For those of you with familiar spirits, you'll want to have them take a hike as well. This is between you and your Creator. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. Ecclesiastes 3:15. Nimrod's Babylonia was a nation. Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonia was a nation. The United States of Babylonia is a nation. Now, if America is indeed the Babylon, we should find Old Lady Liberty in the Bible here or there. And that we do. Isaiah 47, she's the daughter of Babylon, daughter of the Chaldeans. Jeremiah 50 and 51, she's the hindermost of the nations. Isaiah 30, she is the daughter of Egypt. Ezekiel 38, she is the land of unwalled villages. Revelation 17, she is the woman that rides the beast. Revelation 18, she is Babylon, that great city. New York is her capital city. New York is that great city. America is the only nation that fits all criteria in these and other scriptures. Economically, allegorically, geographically, and literally, Lady Liberty is the daughter of Babylon. Throughout the remainder of the CD, we'll be going through all the criteria to establish these facts. For now, I'm going to read to you Isaiah chapter 47. Sit back, listen, see if anything sounds familiar. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of the Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwell carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so, thou shalt be able to profit. If so, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. order, none shall save thee. None shall save thee. The entire chapter 47 of Isaiah, that is a direct reference to the United States of America from the Lord of Hosts. Now, one of the things I want to discuss is what is going on today in America. Well, the date is 6/27/2002. Not even a year since the tragic 9/11 event occurred, which was a direct warning. A direct warning shot across the bow to let America know that if she does not repent, she will be judged. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, since that day, has America repented? Has America humbled herself? Has she turned her face toward God? Well, let's take a look. We see a lot of generic "God bless America" signs up. Really? Well, let's look at the heart of the nation. We're still murdering over 3,000 babies per day. Sodomy is still being practiced and glorified publicly. Witchcraft and the occult is encouraged and taught amongst the children that we don't slaughter. And if these surviving children become unruly, they're drugged into submission. I don't think we're repenting. In fact, I think this is increasing. For the first time in a decade, CNN announced this week the American national crime rate for violent crimes is up 3.1%. And yesterday's newspaper I just read, a 3-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the phrase "under God" makes the Pledge of Allegiance unconstitutional. The ruling came from a Sacramento, California area case. So it doesn't look like we've turned our face toward God either. Has America humbled herself? Well, I see a lot of "proud to be an American" bumper stickers and signs. "Proud to be an American, or at least I think I'm free." And how about "the power of pride"? Pride. When did the American people forget that the Lord hates pride? And yet we see it everywhere. We're the most proud. Turning to Jeremiah chapter 50, another direct reference to the daughter of Babylon. "Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts. For thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him." I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about. Truthfully, I am not proud to be an American. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. For this segment, we're going to talk about beasts and seals. Let's look at some key players and events in chapter 7 of Daniel and chapter 6 of Revelation. These two chapters run parallel, as does the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation go hand in glove. Now, after we define the players, we'll see how these relate to Gog, the land of Magog, in Ezekiel 38. Many pastors and preachers know of this coming great battle of Gog against Israel, and Gog will lose. They will be driven back, and all but a sixth of their forces will remain. But do they also know that America's destruction is at the same time? Well, you will in just a few minutes. Daniel 7. "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. The lion is England. The eagle's wings is America, born of England. What is the national beast of England? It is and has been the lion. It's on their crests. It's in Trafalgar Square. It's on the edge of my Cambridge Bible, made in England. What is the national beast of America? It's the bald eagle. Now, who's going to pluck America out of the vision? The fifth verse in the seventh chapter of Daniel says, "And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh." Easy question. Which nation on earth, as its national beast, is the bear? Russia. Gog, the land of Magog.
The Soviet Union will be pleased to offer amnesty to your wayward vessel.
The Soviet Union? I thought you guys broke up.
Yes, that's what we wanted you to think.
Watch, because that it will happen. The bear has become enormous, and the bear is in cahoots with the Arab countries.
Indeed. Now let's compare the first two beasts with the opening of the seals in Revelation 6. Revelation 6:2 says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." The first seal has been open for some time now. When God translated his English Bible back in 1611, the British conquerors took that Bible with them. And then they gave birth to lion cubs across the globe. It was once declared that the sun never sets on the British Empire. One of the lion cubs has the wings of an eagle, and that is America. And they are about to be plucked by the soon-to-be-opened second seal via the bear. In regards to the first seal, remember, America gave birth to the United Nations. The headquarters for the UN is in New York City. And one of the statues outside the UN building is a rider on a horse with a bow in his hand. Even stranger, the arrow is missing or has been taken from the rider's hand. Which takes us to the second seal in Revelation 6. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red.
Red.
And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." This event is right around the corner, and is also described in Ezekiel 38. Before we compare the future events in Ezekiel 38 to the opening of the second seal, a footnote to understanding the timing factor of the seals to follow. I want you to do some research. Ask any woman who's had a baby as to the timing between birth pangs. The birth process in general is a very important parable. For Jesus says, "A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world." And important for today's events, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, "For when they shall say, Peace and safety,
peace and security,
then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." 1948, pang, Israel is given their land back. 1967, pang, Israel secures Jerusalem. Folks, we need to watch and support Israel. They have the decreed right to that land, straight from the Lord of Hosts. If you've been watching the news lately, you've noticed that some fuss is being made betwixt Israel and Palestine. And the Palestinians and their Arab allies, plus Gog, Russia, are preparing to attack Israel en masse, which is the theme of Ezekiel 38:39. We Americans need to pay close attention to Ezekiel 38 because we're in it as the land of unwalled villages. The difference between the U.S. and Israel is that Israel will be standing when the smoke clears, and America's borders will be burned, and her farmlands will be looted and pillaged in the midst of her. The Lord addresses Gog, Ezekiel 38:10-13. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Footnote. All the so forth begat so on, and this guy begat that guy, may seem incredibly boring when reading the Bible, but every word is in there for a reason. Those genealogies are precisely how we track who settled in what land and what nation was born of who. Keeping that in mind, here is the street exegesis of Ezekiel 38:10-13. What's going to happen is, when the Russian bear and its Arab and red buddies gang up to pick on Israel, at the same time, they're going to spring up inside the U.S., causing revolution and robbing a bunch of mixed-up folks in America that are too busy eating at Ryan's Steakhouse and watching their TVs to see it coming. Then, some shock nations, England, Canada, Australia, to name a few, will ask the Red Bear Gang, what are you doing to America? The prophet Jeremiah also wrote of this occurrence in chapter 51. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. I'd advise reading the entire book of Jeremiah. History is about to repeat itself, and that book holds many of the answers to what's going to befall this nation. Two very important chapters, Jeremiah 50 and 51. Who's it addressing? Verse 33 in chapter 51 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Who is she? The daughter of Babylon, the daughter of Chaldea, Lady Liberty, thou hast shackled thy children with iniquity. United thou wilt fall when the Lord visits thee. I'm going to do a quick tour through Jeremiah 50 and 51. We'll see the plans of attack. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there shall come up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. Also in verse 9, for lo, I will raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. Verse 3 says, there cometh up a nation against her, and verse 9 says, up against Babylon, an assembly of great nations. Something to note here. Verse 3 says, a nation. Verse 9 says, an assembly of great nations. Well, it's not a contradiction. There are no contradictions. Both are true. Anytime you come across something like this, both are true. Let me explain. Russia was a nation. And now, They are an assembly of great nations, because verse 9 says, an assembly of great nations from the North Country. That is precisely what happened to Russia. They split into different republics, but they still have the same agenda. All of them and their communist and Arab allies. Destroy America. And the scripture continues, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty, expert man. None shall return in vain. Their arrows shall be as of a mighty, expert man. None shall return in vain. None shall return in vain. Guidance systems on missiles are very accurate, especially Russian missiles. Why us? Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass, and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded, she that bore you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land and a desert. America is the only nation on earth that qualifies in these scriptures. It's the hindermost of the nations. When the prophet Jeremiah was looking forward at the daughter of Babylon, he declared it to be the youngest nation amongst multiple nations toward the end of time. America is only a couple of centuries old, and the day of the Lord is close at hand. The new world order of all nations that will arise from America's ashes, it is an altogether different beast that we do not have time to expound upon this CD. Another important parameter only America qualifies for. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bore you shall be ashamed. America is the only nation that has a mother that's still around to witness this event. England will witness her daughter's judgment, as will her other young lions, mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Because of the wrath of the Lord it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about. All ye that bend the bow, shoot at her. Spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about. She hath given her hand. Her foundations are fallen. Her walls are thrown down. For it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her. As she hath done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. The prophet Jeremiah is exposing the other pieces on the chessboard. The destruction of America's borders from the coastlines. Not only will her unwalled villages in the midst of the land be pillaged, but her borders and the great cities thereon will be utterly burned with weapons of mass destruction. And the wise folks in the cities and villages still standing, they'll return to their own native lands. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her works, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore shall her young men fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord. The last verse in chapter 50 says, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. We're going to quickly go over some key verses in chapter 51, then we're going to move on to the book of Revelation. Here's verse 7, try to commit this one to memory. It's going to make an appearance in Revelation 17. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Very important verse. Going down to 13. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Verse 25. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain. Going all the way down to verse 53. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. The Bible mentions three heavens, plural. The first heaven is the air where the birds fly. The second heaven is outer space. The third heaven is extra-dimensional and where the Lord sits. Now, for the first time in all of Earth's history is an army able to mount up to heaven. We have jet airplanes, and we're even mounting up in outer space. The scripture defines the time period and America's power literally. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. Who's the whore in Revelation 17? Verse 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Ah, remember, Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. On to verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Scarlet is the color for royalty, dominion, principality, ruler, or king. The beast is the UN world governance that dominates the seven mountains, continents, and seven seas. The ten horns are possibly the ten regions that the UN territories are divided into and their ruling principalities. America initiated the UN, and the UN's headquarters is located in the capital city of the nation of Babylon. It is New York City, Babylon, that great city. Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The woman is the mystery. The mystery is Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great is that great city, and it is New York, the UN-headquartered capital city of Babylon the nation, America. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Before the word continent was added to the English vocabulary, the word mountain also defined a continent. There are seven continents on earth, there are seven seas, and there are seven colors in the light spectrum, etc. The Lord seems to have his number seven on quite a few things. Verse 15, And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. We've really chosen an excellent symbol for this nation, the Statue of Liberty. The seven horns on Lady Liberty's crown represent the seven continents and the seven seas. The Statue of Liberty is not an original symbol. It goes all the way back to the mystery religions of Babylon. The goddess Isis, queen of Babylon, to the goddess Libertos, goddess of liberty, and the goddess of reason. Moving to verse 16, And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. America is that whore, the woman that rides the beast. In one day she will burn. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The nations will sacrifice their sovereignty for order in exchange for chaos from the peace that was taken from the earth. It takes us to the last verse in chapter 17. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Which takes us to chapter 18 of Revelation, the judgment of Babylon the city, New York City, the economic capital of the world. Revelation 18. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour is so great riches come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets, and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Questions and answers. How do we know what Babylon is which in Scripture? Well, some prophecies have dual or even multi-temporal fulfillments. Remember Ecclesiastes 3:15. The Lord, not being constrained by linear physics, can easily accomplish this mind-boggling and impressively complex orchestration. But more specifically, here's how to find our Babylon. Any mention of the day of the Lord, the latter days, the day of thy watchman, the end of days, the last days before the vengeance of our Lord Jesus. That Babylon is America, the daughter of Babylon. An example of this is in the 13th chapter of Isaiah. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and ye shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, the sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Going up to the first verse, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. We know that's reference to America, because in verse 6, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Question. How does America geographically qualify for the role of Babylon? According to Scripture, Babylon's destroying enemy is from a far country, from the north, and the end of heaven. Get out a globe, trace from the United States, straight up north and across the pole to the other end of the globe. Your finger is now in Russia. Also, the end of days Babylon must sit upon many waters and have deep water ports around her coastlines for the merchant sailors to stand afar off and bewail her. In addition, go to Yahoo Maps on the internet, type in Babylon, New York. Surprise! There's even a literal Babylon, New York, right on the coastline. Question: isn't Russia our friend now? What about their reforms? No. We've been disarming and sending aid money over to the Russian republics. They've been using it to build and modify their arsenal. How's that for irony? There's a reason that the Russians are the world champion chess players. Chess is a game of patience and strategy. America has become incompetent in her complacency, lacking both patience and the comprehension of strategy. Lady Liberty will be blown out of the water, and she won't even know what hit her. In addition, research the men that are in charge of these new democratic Russian republics. Most were hardcore Soviets that were trained at the School of Lenin. That's like putting some retired grand wizards of the Ku Klux Klan in charge of the United Negro College Fund. Check. I'll let an American official back me up on this one. Here's former Secretary of Defense Frank C. Carlucci.
If the United States and our allies are to maintain the defense required to safeguard our peace and freedoms, we must have a clear understanding of the threat posed by the military capabilities and doctrine of the Soviet Union. As reported in Soviet Military Power 1988, neither glasnost nor the stirrings of economic reform within the Soviet Union has resulted in any redirection of resources away from the armed forces of the USSR. Soviet strategic nuclear forces, land, sea, and air, continue to be upgraded. Soviet strategic defenses, including the ballistic missile defense system around Moscow, continue to be upgraded. the across-the-board modernization of Soviet conventional forces, tanks, artillery, fighter aircraft, surface warships, and submarines, marks an unprecedented increase in Soviet military capabilities.
This one's for the Bible scholars. Question: what about Iraq rebuilding around the ruins of the old Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar's time period? Couldn't Iraq be the nation and Baghdad be the city in Revelation 18 that is destroyed? Only if you ignore 80% of the parameters defined in the Bible that identifies the Lady of the Kingdoms. Is Baghdad the economic centrifuge for the globe, or is it New York, Wall Street? Does Iraq have a deep water port for merchant sailors to bewail it from, or multiple deep water ports along its coastlines? Does Iraq have the largest idol in the world crafted by mystical Masonic secret society members in its harbor? Did Iraq initiate the United Nations world governance? Is Iraq the world's policeman? Is Iraq known for its cattle and goods and fine merchandise and delicacies and pharmaceuticals, aka sorceries? Is Iraq at rest and dwelling carelessly? Does Iraq have people gathered from all the nations in it? Was there a World Trade Center reduced to ash in Baghdad, or was that New York? There are other scholars that think end times Babylon is Israel or the Vatican Rome or the EU or Russia. Ask yourself the same questions of all of those nations. Question: could the up-and-coming New World Order be Babylon? No. I'll let the prophet Daniel explain why in Daniel 7. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. The Antichrist New World Order governance will be far more dreadful than any of the Babylonian nations throughout history. Again, I'd advise diligently studying Daniel and Revelation to find out what's going to come after America's judgment. If you understand that America is Babylon at this point in the presentation, an important question you may want answered is, what do we do about it? Let's let the Word answer. Zechariah 2:7, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. Jeremiah 50:8, remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Important, do not fight against your aggressors. Jeremiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them, that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land, for in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Jeremiah 51:29. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Verse 45. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. Verse 50. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And most importantly, seek Jesus for your heart. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Jesus, seek righteousness,
seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. America has the spirit of Egypt. Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion.
Liberty's designer, French sculptor Frédéric Auguste Bertholdé, once boasted that his creation would last as long as the pyramids of the Nile. The 20-foot spikes along Liberty's crown, representing the world's seven continents and seven seas, will also be replaced. And finally,
a woman in robes bearing the light of reason had stood for liberty since classical times. And there was still another influence, the Freemasons, a secret international brotherhood linked to the ancient builders of the pyramids and the cathedrals. Freemasons designed the dollar bill. Freemasons planned the Washington Monument, an obelisk, and Masonic symbols were to be present in the Statue of Liberty as well. A torch, the light of human intellect.
Here is testimony from a former Freemason.
And if you want to see the fruits of true Illuminism, look at what is known as the French Revolution. The French Revolution exists as kind of an antimatter version, if you will, of the American Revolution. Whereas a lot of the people that were involved in the American Revolution were Christians, the French Revolution, Illuminism was holding sway. Anti-Christian doctrine, the Reign of Terror, the guillotine, which ate up thousands and thousands of lives, including the crown heads of France. This was what Illuminism was really all about, unfortunately. And sadly enough, it culminated in an event where they desecrated Notre Dame Cathedral, they enthroned a half-naked prostitute on the high altar and crowned her as the goddess of reason and put a torch in her hand. And believe it or not, this is the origin of the Statue of Liberty. It's not a nice, wonderful thing about freedom. That torch is the light of Lucifer. And that statue was built by a Mason, was designed by a French Freemason as a gift to American Freemasons. So I'm sorry if I just popped anybody's bubble there, but the Statue of Liberty is not a nice symbol. It's a symbol of the goddess of witchcraft, essentially, holding aloft the light of Lucifer.
Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. My fellow Americans, we need to stop worshiping the hosts of heaven and start worshiping the Lord of hosts. Here's the testimony of Romanian Dimitri Dudeman with his son translating.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. Thinking, sudden do. I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought. So I thought, they found me here too. But it was not a car. The light surrounded me. And out of the light I heard the same voice. It was the same angel. Dimitri, why are you so despaired? Why did you punish me so harshly? What did I do? Why couldn't you let me stay in prison? But my family would have had a home. I don't have a bed to lay my head down on. Why was I brought here? Dimitri, I brought you to this country because this country will burn. So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dimitri, touch.
He said, Dimitri, be quiet. Get beside me.
Ce aparatul a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el,
but he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Deci îți arăt.
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
foc. And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Dar cu mine ce ai să faci?
But what will you do with me, I said.
Ți-am spus să taci.
I told you to be quiet.
Și m-a dus la locul de unde m-a luat.
And he brought me back to the place we left.
Acum stai de vorbă cu mine.
He said, now we can talk.
Te-am adus în țara asta.
I brought you to this country.
Iubesc țara asta.
Because I love this country.
Iubesc poporul din țara asta.
I love the people in this country.
Și prin gura ta vreau să trezesc mulți.
And through your mouth I want to wake up a lot of people.
Cum ai să trezești prin gura mea când eu nu pot să mă înțeleg pe nimeni?
How can you wake up through my mouth when I can't understand anyone?
Tu nu te îngrijora, zici.
You don't worry about that.
Eu îți voi pregăti pe cine să vorbesc.
I'll prepare some more for you to speak through.
Aici ajungi la televizor.
You reach television.
Aici ajungi la radio.
Radio.
Aici ajungi în adunări.
Churches.
Să spui tot ce spun.
But tell them everything I tell you.
America va arde.
Again he said, America will burn.
Cum a ardă America, că America e puternică?
But how can America burn when it's so powerful, I said.
Tu așa să le spui cum
îți
spun
eu. Tell them what I tell you.
Să n-ascunzi nimic, că dacă ascunzi, aspru.
Hide nothing. If you will try to hide anything, I will punish you harshly.
Spionajul sovietic.
The Russian spies.
Au descoperit cele mai puternice depozite nucleare americane.
Have figured out where the most powerful nuclear plants in America are.
Când americanii crede că e pace, liniște.
When Americans will think it's peace and quiet.
Și stăpânesc tot pământul.
And they rule the world.
Atunci de pe ocean.
Then from the oceans.
Din Cuba.
Out of Cuba.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
America Centrală.
Central America.
Mexico.
Mexico.
Va bombarda depozite nucleare americane.
They will bombard the nuclear plants in America.
Și America va lua foc.
And America will burn.
Dar ce faci cu biserica?
I said, but what will you do with the church?
Oh, zice, în biserici, unele biserici m-au părăsit.
Said, many churches have left me.
Cum tu n-ai oameni aici?
I said, what do you mean, don't you have people here?
Tu așa să le spui.
He said, tell them this.
Oamenii se slăvesc pe oameni.
People glorify people.
Cinstea care se cuvine să o dea lui Hristos.
The honor that Christ deserves.
Oamenii și-o iau asupra lor.
Men take upon themselves.
În biserică.
In the church.
Divorce.
There's divorce.
Pracurvirii.
There's adultery.
Sodomie.
There's sodomy.
Avort.
There's abortion
tot felul de păcate.
And all kinds of sin.
Și Hristos nu locuiește în păcat.
And Christ will not live in sin.
Hristos locuiește în sfințenie.
Christ lives in holiness.
Și te-am adus aici să strigi în gura
mare. And I brought you here that you cry out loud.
Să se oprească de a păcătui.
Tell them to stop sinning.
Să se întoarcă către Dumnezeu.
And to repent.
Că Dumnezeu nu obosește.
Because God never stops forgiving.
Amen.
Amen.
Și toți aceia.
And all those.
Se vor opri de la păcatele lor.
Who will stop sinning?
Se vor întorna către Dumnezeu.
And who will repent?
În ziua nenorocirii voi salva.
God will save in the day of trouble.
Cum ai să-i salvezi dacă arzi America?
How can he save them if America burns, I
said.
He said, tell them this.
Cum am salvat pe Daniel din groapa leilor?
As I saved Daniel from the lions.
Îi voi salva și pe ei.
This is how I will save them.
Cum am salvat pe cei trei tineri din cuptorul cu foc?
As I saved the three young ones from the furnace.
Îi voi salva și pe ei.
This is how I will save them.
Și cuvântul lui Dumnezeu spune.
And the word of God says this.
1000 va cădea alături de tine.
1000 will fall to your side.
10,000 la dreapta ta.
And 10,000 to your right.
Dar de tine nu se va.
Yet no man will touch you.
Fiindcă suntem păziți de puterea lui Dumnezeu.
Because we are protected by the power of God.
Îngerii lui Dumnezeu.
And the angels of God are around those that fear him.
Dar trebuie să ai o viață curată.
But brother, your life must be clean.
Amen.
Amen.
Dacă tu ești îngerul lui Dumnezeu.
If you are truly the angel of God.
Și tot ce îmi spui tu nu scrie în Biblie.
Everything you say to me must be written in the Bible.
Eu nu scriu în Biblie, nu pot. Citit în Ieremia.
Have you read Jeremiah?
Da, am citit.
Yes, I have.
Ai citit în 51 Ieremia?
Did you read Jeremiah 51?
Zic că am citit.
Of course I have.
Ce înțelegi acolo?
What did you understand?
Păi vorbește despre Babilonul vechi.
It speaks about the old Babylon, I said.
Oh, să mai citești o dată.
He said, read again.
Să mai citești o dată.
Read again.
Că spune despre America.
Because it speaks about America, not Babylon of old.
Apocalipsa 18 ai citit?
Have you read Revelation 18?
Am citit, zic, tot cu privire la Babilon.
Said, yes, it's also about Babylon.
No, ia să mai citești o dată.
He said, read it again.
Odată.
He said, read it again.
Ca să-ți deschid mintea.
Time, then you will understand.
Eu vă spun să citiți din Ieremia 51, versetul 7.
Brothers, let's read out of Jeremiah 51.
At the mouths of two or three witnesses shall the matter be established. Matter be established. Here's the testimony of Henry Gruver.
In that vision, I was standing and looking out over the Isle of Anglesey in Carnarvon, Northern Wales. standing on the Eagle Tower on the Carnarvon Castle. This is the Carnarvon Castle is where Charles, Prince Charles, was coronated as Prince of Wales. That's a significant expression and reason I believe that God put me there. There's a lot that can be put into that. But that isn't my particular expertise. We'll leave that with those who feel they have other information on it. However, as I stood there looking out over the Isle of Anglesey from the Eagle Tower, it's the tallest tower of the Carnarvon Castle, all of a sudden, looking out across toward over the Irish Sea, the tip of the Irish Sea into the North Sea, I was caught up into the heavens and looking down on the earth like a globe. And as I looked down on the earth like a globe, I saw a massive military movement coming out of an area up by the Arctic. And I couldn't figure out what this was, what was going on, why a military, navy, and air force, why it would be going out between the United States and Europe up above Finland, going out through the Icelandic Gap and heading down between the United States and Europe and making a curl all the way around the Horn of Africa towards the Persian Gulf. Now that's significant. When all of a sudden I was alarmed because of that, you would have been too. I looked over toward the United States and I saw something I'd never seen in my life. I had never even preconceived the thought of it. I had always thought that the United States was wiser and more powerful than to allow Russian subs to be parked right almost on our beaches, per se. What I mean by that is you could see the submarines down under the water, but there were areas that the sand still had drifted on down from the beaches into the depths, and the submarines were sitting there aimed at America. I saw them sprinkled all the way across the East Coast. When I saw that, my family at that time lived in Portland, Oregon. I was alarmed, of course, and I wanted to look over toward Portland to see what was going on. And as I looked across the continent of the United States of this globe, I saw the submarines from way up by Washington, the top of Washington, all the way down around towards San Diego, poised in the same way all the way along our coast from the north, from the Pacific side. Then something else caught my attention. I began to see radio towers going up all across the nation. And these radio towers, as they went up, the dotted lines begin going out as though they were transmitting. And then there was an alarm went off in me. They're sounding the alarm. We're going to be under attack. The siege is laid. When all of a sudden I was watching these radio dots going out like the transmitting of a warning, and instead of the people being warned, they sprinkled to the ground like dust. And an alarm went off in me, and I cried out in the heavens, and I said, "Oh God, they won't even know what hit them." And at that time, all of a sudden, I looked down on the eastern seaboard at the submarine, was drawn to that one right off from New York City, and I saw the missile come right out of that submarine and go right up and come right over the city of New York, and the entire city disappeared. Then I looked down, on down toward Florida. And down there, I could see another explosion take place. I looked across because of my family being in the Pacific Northwest. I looked across. Another explosion took place up by Seattle, Bellevue. And then another one down by San Francisco. And another one down toward Los Angeles. And another one toward San Diego. And there I stood in shock as I was watching these explosions take place and these cities literally disappearing from off the face of the earth. The next instant, I was standing back down on the Eagle Tower, and I found myself looking down in the village. There was no alarm going off. The cars were going the normal speed. People were walking. I looked out over the bay where there were some British ships, warships, and I watched them and studied them for a few seconds. There was no alarm there. And I found myself saying this, "Oh God, if this has not happened, what will be the sign of it and of its time?" And God spoke to my spirit, and these were the words He said. December the 14th, 1986, before Glasnost, Perestroika, the Berlin Wall was still up. The Cold War was still in full bore run. We supposedly were still on alert. The words were spoken to me, when Russia opens her gates and lets the masses go, the free world will occupy themselves with transporting, housing, and caring for the masses. We'll begin letting their weapons down, crying peace and safety. And that's when it will happen. Now, the question I submit to you is this. Where are we on that scenario? Where are we in that prophetic timetable? Is that vision being fulfilled before our eyes? Are we seeing it literally take place? The bear has become enormous, and the bear is in cahoots with the Arab countries, 12 to 14 of them, and there is none out of sight. In January this year, it looked like we were going to build up again and have another desert storm, didn't it? And I cried out to the Lord because I was getting ready to go to Europe. And the Lord said, tell the people that this is not the real thing. This is only a policing action. There will be policing actions, but watch, because that, it will happen, what you said. And I said, we will be drawn again to the Middle East in mass. We will be drawn through conflicts like Bosnia and like Taiwan and like North Korea. Conflicts are going to come up to draw us away from home base, to deplete our home defense mechanism. That's the strategy. Then revolution breaks loose inside of our nation. Why? To throw us into chaos and confusion. Because out of confusion and chaos, the communist system says they gain strength and power. And I've shown you that in quotes in the mentality of these people. They don't mind revolution. They don't mind it at all. This is some of the things that we're facing. We're facing very serious times.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.